want to greet each one in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. It's been a blessing to be here. I was blessed this morning as I was sitting here and watching these front benches here. The Bibles were open. They were taking notes. I hope you were taking notes of what you were hearing, maybe, and not some other kind of notes. But I trust you were, and I'll have that confidence unless you tell me different. You know, it's a as we come to you, and we've heard so many good things this morning. When I was studying for the message, I didn't realize where the Sunday school lesson was. I wasn't here last Sunday. It was at OCC. And then the thoughts that were shared this morning in the devotional, and forgiveness, and on what God can do. Do we believe God can do it with, can, or we believe God can do anything, and do we believe He can do it with us? I've titled the message this morning, Spirit-Filled Relationships. And if you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read that chapter. So I thought of the author of this book, the Apostle Paul, and as we look at our Sunday school lesson this morning, and we didn't quite get to that part, or not very much, to the last part there, but looking at realizing that Paul was human. Paul faced the same issues, I believe, that we face today. You know, there are the, and there, I think we can learn a lot of lessons from that passage there in our Sunday school lesson. I think the one, you know, the part that saying the contention was, how does it say something about the contention was great, or it was strong, sharp, there you go. That was a part where it went too far. But the thing that blesses me about that situation is he didn't stay there. He was willing to back up and to reevaluate. And, you know, isn't that, don't we face that so many times in church life, in all our relationships? You know, this subject is one that makes me tremble to speak on because I realize that I have fallen so short. And the apostle in chapter 5, in Ephesians 5, talks about the marriage relationship, and we're going to look at that quite a bit this morning. But I believe wherever we find ourselves, Paul also says in another place that he wishes all were like him. So in singlehood or marriage, wherever we find ourselves, we deal with relationships. You know, the Lord has blessed me with a wonderful wife. We've been married almost, I think, almost 28 years. Sometimes we get a year off or two, but I think we're coming right up on 28 years in a couple months, if the Lord grants us that. And, you know, if the Lord grants us many more years, my desire is to be more what I should be, the husband that God has called me to be. You know, I think sometimes we kind of look at life as relationships, and they come to, especially the marriage relationship, maybe it comes to a plateau, comes to a certain point, and just kind of levels off there. But it blesses me to see older couples here that are, I believe, are still growing, are moving forwards, or that relationship is growing. And that's my desire, and I believe that should be the desire of every disciple of Christ. And I think I shared this story here maybe before, but about a year ago, we were selling our camper, and this 81-year-old couple stopped in to look at it. And I wasn't sure what they were wanting at their age with an old machine like that, but they were looking at it, and he helped her up the steps. They came in and sat there and were looking at things, and you could almost feel the love between them without, it's just the way they looked at each other, the way they talked. And then, of course, of conversation, he told me they'd been married either for 60, 61 years, something like that. You know, he treated her like a queen. And you could see the love between them. And when they went back out, went to their car, and as they walked to their car, I drove out the lane and I looked in my mirror, and here he walked around the passenger side, opened her door, and let her in. And you know that, I had to back up and go give him a thumbs up. And he got a grin from ear to ear. And I wish later I would have asked him, you know, what the secret was, what it was that kept that relationship alive and growing. But it was a blessing to me to see that in older couples, and especially in that age. But I believe that's what God has called us to. That's what he wants for his people. I'm going to read this whole chapter to get the context. I believe the Word of God, this chapter itself says, I believe that washing with the water by the Word. I believe as we let the Word, read the Word, let it soak into our hearts, and that's where we're going to find the truth. That's where the answers are to life's questions, questions in relationships. Why don't you all stand to read this, Ephesians chapter 5, those of you that can. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our dear Lord, as we come before thee, as we look into your word today, Lord, just help us to open our hearts and lives to what you have for us. To let the water of the word wash our hearts and to cleanse us and to Help us to be more like you, to seek to become more like you, and follow your example. We just want to commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the chapter starts out with a "Be ye therefore." Well, the last verses of chapter 4, who can tell me what the last verses of chapter 4 are without looking? A verse that you've all learned. Okay, thank you. It's probably some of the most quoted verses there in the New Testament. We teach them to our little children. Most of the young children could say that verse. Be ye kind, at least the part, be ye kind one to another. But I wonder sometimes if the reason it's so hard for them to follow that, to do that, is maybe because of the examples they have. Maybe they don't see the kindness, the tenderheartedness, and the forgiveness that we're trying to teach them. The first two verses of chapter 5, of the chapter we just read, follow right along with the last verse of chapter 4. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." I'm not going to go over this chapter verse by verse, but pulling out some key points. You know, is it possible to live up to what Christ has called us to in our marriages of ourselves? I think we'd all say no. It's not possible. We can't do it. What is the key? I think verse 18 holds the key there. It says, "Be filled with the Spirit." But be ye filled with the Spirit. What are the outcroppings of being filled with the Spirit? What are three things he mentions here? Anyone? What's going to happen if we're filled with the Spirit? What does he say? It's not a trick question. The first one, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What's next? Giving thanks. And the next one, submitting yourselves. I think there's the key. That's what's going to happen if we're filled with the Spirit. You know, family that loves each other, a family that sings together, a family that's thankful, that's praising the Lord, a family that submits to the authority that God has set in order, is a beacon of light in a world that has largely rejected the order that God has set in place. So I think that's a beautiful thought. Every family here, every family that's represented here, you can be that beacon of light wherever you are. At your own place, you go out individually, and you're being that beacon of light. And we're all human, so we're not perfect. But I believe if we're sincerely seeking to follow our Master's example, we're going to be reflecting His love, and therefore we are a light. You know, what a responsibility we have if we fail to reflect that light. We may be discouragement to some seeking soul. Thinking of some of the practical points he gives some practical points I think that we can apply to what he's saying here in the marriage relationship. Number one, think the best. I think that's so important. And some of these thoughts are coming from the author Love and Respect. But think the best. You know, wives, believe that your husband really loves you. Husbands, believe that your wife's intent is to respect you. I think of a story I read of a couple that was coming up on their 10th anniversary. I'm going to call them Jim and Sarah. Jim had a problem remembering some of their anniversaries. They were coming up on their 10th one, and Sarah was wondering, is he going to remember this one? Well, sure enough, he brought her this card. She opened the card, a beautiful card, endearing words on the outside. Her face lit up. As she opened it, started reading the inside, her countenance dropped. And Jim noticed, and he anxiously asked, he said, what's the matter? She said, if you don't care any more about me than to buy me a birthday card for my 10th anniversary, and made a pretty snide remark, but in his haste, you know, he hadn't taken the time to read the inside of the card. He had made a mistake, but she didn't give him any room. Instead of believing the best in him, believing that he had meant to do his best, he had good intent, she took it negatively. Instead of a virtuous cycle and it helping him build them up, it turned into a vicious cycle. And he said, in his mind, she wasn't respecting him. She lost respect. And he said, if you feel that way, I'm going to go back to the office. So if you don't care more about me than that, you can just go back to the office. So we see how things turned and went exactly opposite of a virtuous cycle. It turned into a vicious cycle. That's important to communicate honestly, and it's good to look at the inside of the card. But we need to communicate at the right time and the right way. Another important point is, don't expect to change your partner. Maybe I should be talking to the younger ones up here. But don't expect to change your partner. You can't do it. You know, ladies, you may be able to change the wardrobe by quietly making his old ill-fitting or worn-out favorites disappear. But you can't force submission. You can't force respect. So it's vital that we accept each other as you are. Look beyond the imperfect person and look at Christ. You know, only Christ can change a person. If you do your part, then you're preparing for growth and change. You know, sometimes just a change in your attitude, a change in my attitude may change the way you see things. You know, we each wear our own set of glasses. It's been said that the men listen through blue hearing aids, speak through a blue microphone, and see through blue glasses. The ladies hear through pink hearing aids, speak through a pink microphone, and see through pink glasses. Well, if that all works right, it should blend and turn into pink and put pink and blue together. You have purple, a royal color. You know, one place, I think it's Peter that says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And I think that should be able to blend and work together when each is in their place and each fills their calling. You know, what if your partner is a, I'm not going to put a word in there, you put your own word in there, but if there's less than ideal or however you want to put that, does that change the love or the respect issue? You know, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That doesn't change our responsibility. Unless, of course, we're asked to do something that goes against, that violates conscience or scripture. But husbands are called to love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, what a calling. And I believe that's something we can safely say that cannot truly be done without being spirit-filled. As we seek to follow his example, you know, whether we're single or married, we will become more and more like him. like Christ, our perfect example. And my mind went to that song, and it's not in our books. But, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming, now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple, meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life in heaven above. I think that song is so fitting. It fits in so well with what the apostle was teaching here. Now, this teaching wasn't popular in his day, and it isn't in our day. It opposes what is being taught. It opposes what is popular in mainstream society. Now, 1 Corinthians 11 gives us the instruction on the invisible sign of the headship order. The veiling, a sign of the sister's submission. The uncovered head, a symbol of the brethren taking their role. He says, as a church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands. What is that telling us? What does subject mean? One interpretation would be submissive. Adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. As a church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject. Now, what causes a church to submit? What is it that causes a church to submit to Christ? Isn't it the love that Christ had for the church? What he was willing to give for the church? He gave himself for it because of the love that he had for his bride, the church, that he was willing to give his life for her that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. Submit, to be subject to, a voluntary giving up. You know, it takes great power over his or herself to submit. But, you know, submitting is much more restful than fighting, resisting, rebelling against authority. And when a child is not taught that there are authorities that we must listen to in all areas of our lives, they're missing some vital teaching. It's why we see what's going on in the streets today. It's why a lot of the people are over in OCC. They were never taught that there are authorities that they need to listen to. It's going to hinder them all through life. Submitting. You know, wives are to submit as a church submits to Christ, but there's also a corresponding side. And I believe this passage is one that tells us how important church membership is. You know, who do the sisters look to? I might say you look to older sisters. The Bible talks about the older ones being examples. But who else would the wives be most likely to look to for their example? And here it mentions several times, it talks about their own husbands. Husbands, how easy do you find it to submit to the church and to other authorities in your lives? If the wife is supposed to submit as a church submits to Christ, is your attitude towards authority an example you want your family to follow? I want to read a few excerpts out of from a Watchman Nee that he wrote. God has not hidden one thing from us concerning authority. In the church, whether directly or indirectly, God has shown us how to submit to authority. Many only know about submission to God. They do not know about submission to authorities. Because all authorities are from God, everyone has to submit to authority. All a man's problems are due to living outside the realm of God's authority. All members have to submit to one another. The body is one. The head and the body are also one. God's will can be accomplished only when the authority of the head prevails. God wants the church to be the kingdom of God. Some think that submission to authority is a very difficult thing, but it is not difficult when one meets God. I thought that was that last part there. It's not difficult when one meets God. You know, have we met God? You know, the Apostle Paul, he was a man that thought he knew what he was doing, thought he was following God. He knew the Old Testament scriptures, but till he met God, till he was willing to place himself under God's authority, it's only then that he got on the right track. It's only then that he could fulfill what God had called him to. You know, a man that has not brought himself under authority finds it difficult to function as the leader that God has called him to. And we're not talking about dictatorship in the home or in the church. But in every aspect of our life, there are authorities. In church life, we have authorities in different areas. You know, there's, as you walk in the door, there's often an usher there to point you where to go. You know, it doesn't look good to see a usher walk up to the front to let somebody in, and somebody cuts in on the second row, and he stands up front and turns around. It's important to listen. It's important to follow the authorities that are put there, those that are in charge, wherever we find ourselves. As all submit to each other and to the headship of Christ, things can function smoothly. There is order. Again, Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. So even if our spouse isn't perfect, which is always going to be the case, we are called to love and to respect. You know, as men, we've put a lot into maybe business, farm, hobbies, and that's all right and good in its proper place. But you know, what if we put the same fervor, the same diligence into our marriages? Now let's take the challenge. In many cultures, women are exploited. They are property. But you know, Christianity raises the status of women, calling the husbands to nourish and to cherish their wives. I don't know what all he's saying by that, but Peter says in 1 Peter 3:7, he says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Dwell with them according to knowledge. You know, what makes her feel cherished? We need to communicate. We need to take time to evaluate and see how she is feeling. What makes her feel loved, protected, and honored? You know, I believe as men, we should be that punch bag or whatever you want to call it, that's willing to take the kicks and let them bounce off and treat our wives as a delicate china that needs to be protected, as a weaker vessel is being heirs together of the grace of life. I think that's this beautiful thought there, that your prayers be not hindered. And I think there we see another very important part, praying together. Praying together, praying privately. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And he says that no man yet has hated himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. What does that reverence stand for? What is it? What all is included in that? Well, one translation says, "However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife being in a sense his very own self, and let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. You know, that sounds, that's a pretty big, a lot of adjectives in there, or I don't know, it's, includes a lot. There's a lot involved in the reverence. But I think that's reciprocating. It's what makes that virtuous cycle. It's what keeps things going around positively, and it keeps growing. And I think it, as we grow older, as we spend more time together, that love grows stronger and deeper. There's not a, it doesn't stop. There's no plateau that we come to. Again, seeking direction. Remember, you can't change your spouse. You can't force love or respect, but Christ can change a person. And as we come to Him, we can expect things to change. As we follow the instructions given in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. I think these are beautiful words. I think it's a chapter that should be read often. It's a chapter that we should commit to memory and go over. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now that's a high calling, and that's for each one of us. Vaunteth not itself, is kind, suffereth long, behaveth itself, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, looking out for the other's welfare and best interests, thinking the best, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. If we follow God's order and the principles that He has laid out, I believe we can expect a virtuous cycle instead of a vicious cycle. We can expect change and growth. And you know, we may find that the person that needs to change is me. Then I'll be looking through a different set of glasses. I'll see things differently. Let's remember, there's a couple points. You know, seeking the good of our spouse, believing the best in our spouse, believing that trusting the intent is good, is right. Looking past imperfections to Christ, expecting growth and change, praying and respecting, praying for each other and respecting and submitting unconditionally. And I think if we follow these things, we can expect that virtuous cycle to grow, and if however much time God gives us together, continue to grow. And I trust that's what I, that verse when David is asking for verses that promises that at Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. And God can do it. He can do it through, do we believe He can do it? Do we believe He can do it through me, through you? And that was a challenge to me to, where is my faith? Can we believe with trust and go forward without hesitation, trusting? I believe if we follow these things in church life, in marriage, it'll make all the difference in that light, that testimony, that as each one of us as a family go to our different places in the community, those lights can shine to those around us, and we can be a faithful witness and be what Christ has called us to be. Let's kneel for prayer.